Today on Packaging in a Box, we're sharing the LinkedIn Live Packaging Today show that we do every week on Monday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time with co-hosts Adam Peek, Corey Connors, and myself, where we dig into everything that's happening in packaging today. News, memes, posts, the latest in packaging, new materials, anything you need to know to stay ahead of the packaging curve. Let's get to the show.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Evelio Matos, Adam Peek, and Corey Connors.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's three alleged packaging professionals and packaging fraud.
I'm allegedly a packaging professional, but I'm definitely a lazy American and a fraud. So
lazy, ugly, I think is what it was.
Oh, ugly. Yeah. That's right. I'm ugly. I'm an ugly, lazy American.
Allegedly.
No. That was.
We're sure about that.
I'm allegedly a packaging professional who does not care at all about recycling.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We should work on that.
It's not the first time, but I was called a wet dream. So, you know,
no. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were. That's
the wet.
That was
all right.
That was special. That was a special weekend. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
That's right. Craziness going on the old LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
Liquid Death was not 100% recyclable or infinitely recyclable.
Yeah.
Right. And, you melted this down and then you showed the plastic on the inside. You had a good conversation with Mike Cesario via LinkedIn on posts.
It was a great comment from Mike. I honestly appreciated it, right? Like, you don't ever
brilliant,
know
by the
if
way.
People are going to, and it was respectful. It was cordial.
No.
I still stand by and I even said, I don't think that infinite is the right word here. I feel like it's, and I've said this before on the show repeatedly, it's such a nonsense word given that we live within the confines of time and space. And it just implies so much stuff. It's just silliness. It's not necessary. Yeah. I think it does engage in a level of, and I'll just say this, unintended greenwashing from the can community, right? Like, it's unintended. I know what they're trying to say. It's aluminum, so it is part of the periodic table, which means there is no loss of the actual elemental component of aluminum in recycling, right? Like as compared to fibers or various plastics where, you have mixed compounds and you got to break stuff together and there's going to be a loss. I understand what they're saying or what they're trying to say. But just say stuff like 75% of all aluminum ever made is still in circulation. That's an incredible statistic about aluminum packaging, right?
And it's very awesome. Inspirational, right? Yeah,
it is. But let's not pretend like there's no, I mic'd out the wall here. It's about 10% of the thickness is a BPA-free, FDA-approved plastic. Almost. Oh, we'll see you later, Evelio. Whatever, bro. It's 10% of it is some type of a plastic liner because it's necessary. We need that for the aluminum to be effective. There's nothing particularly wrong about it, except that people don't know it and they try to hide it. Just like Evelio right now, he's ducking the smoke. He doesn't want to talk about that. You're not watching. If you're listening to this, Evelio keeps coming in and out.
Yeah.
But it was a great conversation. I thought, Corey, you jumped in and saw some of the chat. What were your thoughts on it?
I think I think people get very narrow-minded. They get very focused on something. This is how I believe. This is how it must be. And I've been like that in the past too. I've It's taken me many years to adjust my thinking on certain aspects of recyclability, fiber loss, things like that. You don't realize that when they talk about recycling at first, that some of the fibers get too small and they go through the screen and they get washed out. And so is it 100% recyclable? Well, almost, and that's something to think about.
It's just so crazy to me. I'm like, what are we still talking about here? And I made a follow-up video, right? Like saying, the reason why I picked Liquid Death is because I really appreciate their brand and I do want them
to succeed,
right? Like I really genuinely do. I think it's great what they've done. But there is not a single packaging material. And this is something that I've had to discover. Not one that is 100% recyclable 100% of the time. Zero. Right. Because even if you took like Tom Zaki talks about in his book, it's been so long since I've read the book. Anyway, he talks about, if you had 24 karat gold package,
right,
that might be the closest thing that we would have to something being 100% reusable or 100% recyclable because it has, there it is, the future of packaging. Thank you,
yeah.
Corey.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tom Zaki in the
future. Love Tom Zaki. He's an awesome guy.
But that would be the closest we have. If it's not something that has this insane amount of value on the back end, then nothing is 100% recyclable 100% of the time. And that's my point with aluminum. It's my point with plastics. It's my point with paper. It's my point with glass. Like we're introducing the possibility for waste every time we make packaging. And
everything has its pluses and minuses. Everything has its place. Like Jonathan Quinn says, there is no silver bullet.
When the mountains are blue,
in Colorado, there's silver bullet. We'll do a tour over there with Jonathan. We'll show him.
Oh man. It's an awesome tour, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go see the Coors facility in Golden, it's pretty great. And thanks to Coors Brewing and Miller Coors for their sponsorship of the Packing Today show.
Yes.
Taste the rainbow.
Audio.
Just
tech.
Do
Can
it.
You just repeat everything again?
Cause I've yes. Yeah. We're talking about you mostly. Yeah.
Perfect.
If Good you thing. Listen to it on reverse, you'll find out that we are really wizards come to destroy the world, and we do not care about any people or anybody. So,
what is this? Watching for the Arctic Circle?
She's watching from the Arctic Circle.
Wow,
that's the furthest we've been. So,
hi, Laura, sweet. Thank you for joining us.
Getting to see those the Aurora Borealis.
That was pretty cool that there's a lot of people that got to see the there's a lot of people that got to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes, it would go, Hugh. It would go great. Coors Light with some Marco's pizza.
Can of Liquid Death.
It's really what every what was the word again? Lazy and ugly American.
That's right.
And also let's give a shout out to Erica Rankin. Erica,
yes.
She's been on our podcast a few times. Hey. What's up, Erica?
Hey, Erica.
From Canada, where the number one streaming song in Canada was They Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar, which was hilarious if you're following the Drake-Kendrick Lamar beef, that Drake was not even the most listened to in his home country. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
All right, so... So what else we got going on?
Our daily Drake update.
Well, I mean, it was important because I did reach out. I was looking at, over the weekend, I had an adventurous weekend, by the way. Mm. The Nuggets are 2-2. They came back. They beat the Timberwolves twice. Mm-hmm. It was Mother's Day, which was awesome. But then, I had the interactions with Mike and another interaction on LinkedIn that we don't have to spend a lot of time on, but I think it's important. So in response to my video saying what I still hold to be true, which is that there is no packaging that is 100% recyclable 100% of the time. I had a CEO of a decently large packaging company out of the blue, just totally unprovoked. I came in just guns blazing about something about how, you know, that's where the titles come from, that we're, you know, that we're alleged packaging professional, that I am, and that, you know, I don't care. And I got pretty angry, not going to lie. I was pretty upset because I don't mind when people come after me, but he called Avelio a wet dream. And I was like, come on, buddy. Like, it's I don't know what I'm doing.
Can you, but can you blame him?
We won't put up with that.
You know,
No. I don't. I didn't want to delete the comments because they were so ridiculous. And
it's hard to believe. You
know, it was hard to believe. And so it was pretty interesting. And I sat there thinking like, all right, I need to make a rap diss track. And my son, you know, who maybe you don't know,
is Kendrick Lamar.
He's Canadian. Kendrick's like my age.
Has
like 4,000 followers on Spotify and he's a hip hop artist. And I was like, AJ, let's make a diss track for this guy. And I was like, but what is a word that I can use that rhymes with Tucker? And I couldn't come up with the final line.
I think it's wet dream.
All right. So your point was, and it's a fact, that there's nothing that's 100% recyclable.
Correct.
Right. I mean, that statement is what pissed him off. And that statement is a fact, right? When we talk, you know, he got really upset saying that corrugated was the most recyclable material. It is 100% recyclable. But
it is not.
That's not
100%
true.
Of that box is not going to be recycled back into a 100% of its box. There's going to be loss of fibers. There's going to be loss. The starch is going to go away. The tape, the ink, just like on a thing of aluminum, right? That the plastic is going to go through the smelter. It does not impact the recycling. You know, the ink is going to go away. Like there's going to be loss of the physical part of the can is probably not going to be, the aluminum will be. Anyway, that's my point. You can keep going.
Thanks, Hugh.
That would have been a good one. That would have been a good one.
In India, they've got leaf plates. That makes sense. We've seen that packaging from, I think it was in Indonesia. They had like banana leaves.
Yep, totally compostable. Yep.
Compostable, right.
Correct.
Not necessarily recyclable.
That makes sense. Probably not going to recycle leaf plates back into a leaf plate, though. I mean,
maybe. Right. You never know.
You could reuse it. I'm not saying like recycling is not the greatest thing in the whole world. It is an important part of the stream, right? It's very important. We talk about it.
It's why it's the last one, right? When we say
correct,
reduce, reuse, and then recycle. It's not.
Corey never talks about corrugated, so we don't spend any time talking about corrugated ever.
No,
or talking about how important it is or how efficacious it is. But I do think, and my sweet wife was like, please don't do this. But I was like, I'm going to make a video. Because I was talking about water bottle packaging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Packaging of water into stuff. I talked about Tetra Pak, how there's probably going to be some level of plastic in it. Aluminum has a level of plastic in it. You know, plastic has a level of plastic in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I just said that. And like, these all have pluses and minuses. It's important for the brand to know it. And he comes in hot about corrugated. So I'm just going to pour water into like a corrugated sugar and just be like, let's see how well the water holds.
Yeah.
And it's not going to, because direct corrugated is not meant to raw dog with the water. That's not,
it's not how it works.
The water's going to win and it's just going to, eviscerate the corrugated. That's just, if you could put a plastic bag inside of it to put a little condom on the inside and then
bag in a box. Bag in a box is great. Great for wine and all kinds of things.
Fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah. But and then there's a few other people kind of jumped on supporting him, saying how corrugated is the best and it's the most recyclable. And then that there's a lot of ignorance, you know, basically in this group. But I think again, somebody getting really upset without actually reading or comprehending what the point was.
Yeah.
The point is that the material, that there's going to be a loss of material, but that's it. Saying something that's 100% recyclable is not a true statement. And that's where we get into some of the marketing jargon where it's like, we want to promote, we want to make sure, you know, some of the brands want to make it clear to the consumer that something is 100% recyclable, but that's not a factual statement. And of course, with consumers, they don't have time. They don't have time to research. They don't have time to make these decisions. They're just like, oh, this one's better than this one because of this reason. Let me say
something too, because right. I wanted to write this. I typed it out multiple times and I didn't. I just sent memes like, did he just say wet dreams from the PR department? But here's the deal. If you have been in, I'm like, come on in here, people. If you have been in the industry for 45 years.
No. Since 1952.
Well, I'm saying, but this particular gentleman was 45 years, and you're complaining that people don't know about corrugated packaging and that Americans are lazy and entitled and they don't know what they're doing. It's because you have not educated them. You have failed to create a platform to share and to talk about the beautiful things that happen within corrugated, right? Like, we talk about it all the time. It's an amazing material. But you've been in it for 45 years, bro. Like, come on.
It's my nickname. Come on, man.
It is literally Corrugated's nickname. Corey has also been in Corrugated for 45 years.
Yeah, that's right. I started when I was a wet dream. Yeah, that's right.
But hey, listen, it's like the man in the arena, right? Like, the critic can sit there and say, but it's like, people who actually get out there and are willing to put themselves out there and share true information, regardless of if it helps their company. Like, I work for a company that manufactures corrugated packaging. Meyers.com, Meyers.com. We actually make corrugated displays. And it's totally fine to say it's not always the right material. Sometimes you want a plastic core display or a sign because it's just going to last a lot longer. It's fine to say that. Anyway, okay.
I like Thomas's comment here. Yeah. So be careful with your marketing. Don't make blanket statements like this is 100% that, or that is 100% this, because you'll get in trouble. Especially with these new laws coming out, Truth and Labeling Acts in California, you're going to get pinched. It's going to hurt financially. You're going to have to pull the packaging and reprint. So watch out. This is real. Yeah. This is serious. I know we're joking around, but this is a real deal.
Yeah. You can't make these statements. I know Europe is getting, is clamping down, same in the US. Yeah. So people are going to, 100% people are going to get pinched. I'm just looking at Thomas's at your profile. It almost feels like it's like a NASA photo, before the astronaut's gonna.
Oh yeah,
go, right. I like it.
It does look like an astronaut.
It's a solid. It's a solid photo.
Yeah, it's gluten free. That's right.
That's right.
Yes, gluten free packaging is really the best. I think this can is gluten free.
I made a TikTok video about gluten free toaster. I thought it was hilarious. They advertised that this toaster was gluten-free.
You know what I watched? I watched. All right. So this weekend, sitting around, lazy day with my kids, watched. It's the new movie with Jerry Seinfeld about
Pop-Tarts. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard about this. I heard it was good.
It wasn't good, but it was funny. It wasn't good, but it was funny because it did have a lot of packaging references in there. And it was all about, like, how Pop-Tarts were developed. But the packaging references in there were good. Just the behind the scenes thing and how unfrosted. Oh, yeah.
Unfrosted. Thanks, Mark. Yeah.
Coming in clutch.
That's right. Yeah. That was as a packaging nerd, it was worth the watch. Mm-hmm. Definitely check that out.
I like Jerry Seinfeld. He's funny.
If you want to know a little something, when I was a kid, I would wake up and I would watch SportsCenter. They had 30-minute episodes, and I would wake up early for school and I would eat two frosted brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts almost every morning. And nice. I would watch back-to-back SportsCenter. I would get up like 2 hours before I had to be at the bus stop just so I could watch SportsCenter and then go out and throw the football with my friends. See, kids, this is what happens when you didn't have cell phones.
Right.
Yeah. I'd watch Woody Woodpecker. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yep. Chris asking, you know, asking the AI 100% not recyclable. So real quick here, what do we got? I got, how can I share this thing here? Let's see. I'm trying to share my screen here.
This is the most exciting part of the show.
That's right. Drum roll.
This is the, can you see my screen? Am I,
can you hear me?
Hear me now?
All right, let's do this.
While we're waiting, I'm very excited to say that I've got Erin Simon from WWF on my podcast this week. She's amazing. So check it out. Yeah.
WWF.
Worldwide
Wrestling?
World Wildlife? Yeah. Or the Wrestling?
World Wildlife Fund. Yeah. Formerly known as the World Wrestling Foundation.
Avelio.
God. Oh,
but we do talk about wrestling
for a little bit there.
A lot. We talk about a lot of wrestling and with the environment.
All right. So we got post of the week coming in. I know we talked about your post, Adam, pretty heavily, but Terry Minow, check him out. Creative designer, packaging designer. He shared this post, which was pretty good, right? It's like packaging of the week example. This thing is the goofiest pack, but it makes perfect sense for Weird Al.
Does it actually work, you think?
Yeah, it looks like it squishes.
Well, it squishes. I don't think there's like
they could make that produce
music
sound. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be crazy if it made sound, but no,
it's already amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
And they send it. This is a one-on-one, right? They sent it to Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
He X'd about it.
Yeah,
tweeted,
Twixt.
But pretty cool pack, man. And then if you're on LinkedIn, you get these things down at the bottom. These AI things. I don't ever use them. I've just tested them to see what they do, but they're not the greatest. But whatever you post about, whatever you write about, it'll give you like, you know, you can click it and it pops up a window and lets you learn a little bit more about something specific. It's like, what does a packaging engineer do? And it kind of digs in, which is pretty cool, but I don't think you're necessarily using it in your day to day on LinkedIn.
Oh, look, Terry's in the comments.
Oh, they try to add sound, but they ran out of time. So yeah, pretty cool pack, man. That's pretty fun.
That's really cool, Terry. If you have extra ones, I'd love to make a video about it. Mm. Or tell me where to buy it.
I have a friend who has a tattoo of an owl on his leg with the face of Weird Al, and it's Weird Al Yankovic. That's his tattoo. He's a huge fan.
Oh my goodness.
Weird Al has, I mean, talk about like creativity and like just a multi-generational creative, like
pretty impressive.
Can you imagine Weird Al coming up like around today? I mean, he's still obviously very, very much present and around, but with the advent of like social media and streaming music, I mean, he was just doing like his like polka infusion with various pop culture thing. He's awesome. I'm a huge fan. Tough break, Corey. You're just an alleged packaging professional, Terry. Of a kind.
That's right.
If we can donate it to Fred's museum, we should do that, Terry.
Oh yes.
I think the only one exists with Weird Al.
Oh well, when Weird Al is done with it.
When he's done playing with it. Hey, real quick, you talked about social media. This is nothing to do with packaging, but definitely something to do with social and moving quickly and marketing. We kind of talked about that too, and the way that you kind of handle things that are happening of the moment. This is my sports moment because, you know, I'm all about sports. Go sports. Keon Coleman, wide receiver for Buffalo Bills. He did a press conference and he was talking about his jack and he's like, oh, I got this at Macy's, $79.99. He's like, I'm probably going to go to Macy's. Like, I shop like my mom. I buy my jackets during the summertime. He's like, I'm going to go buy them in every color. And like, it was just like a down to earth moment of this football player just being normal.
That's cool.
And he's like, I love Macy's, blah, blah, blah. Huge missed opportunity. From Macy's. Yep. Like they didn't do anything. But you know who came in was Nike. Nike sent him a care package of jackets, next season's jackets, because he always buys his jackets the season before. And then he did like a huge unboxing of the jackets and all the colors that he had said he would buy them in. And it goes the same thing, right? Like Terry's pack, it's, you know, it's not for wide release, but it is for social, right? It's like, it's a marketing piece.
With the packaging.
Yep. Yeah. Packaging can make a huge difference in your marketing without spending a ton of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like seeing a brand jump in, a brand that's not doing the greatest at the moment, jump in and capture that moment is it's great.
So, I mean, Nike's doing, they're going to be fine.
They're not hurting, but they're not
exactly where they were. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I saw something similar with, I'd have to look up the specifics, but it was like somebody, like this person who gained some influence talking about like off menu items at a fast food restaurant they worked at.
Oh yeah. That
and then they it. Were told yeah. don't post about that anymore.
That's right.
And so they took it down, and then like 2 days later they were employed at another company, like their
Shake Shack or something. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. It was the lack of awareness of the power of social media. Right. You know, like our CEO friend who just doesn't, people who are so caught up in the old ways, I guess, of marketing, and they're inflexible. Corey, you talked about this when Avelia was jumping back and forth on and off camera. The inflexibility of some brands and some people is crazy to me.
Yeah.
The world is shifting and changing so much. Like, you got to be on your toes. You know who's great about this, by the way? Dude Wipes. Yeah. Sean Riley and his team at Dude Wipes are on top of almost every single piece of social content about crap.
Or are they on the bottom? I mean,
they're on the bottom of it. Yeah, they're all around the bowl when it comes to. They are geniuses about that.
I recently shared a video on Instagram, and the company reached out to me and asked me to take it down. All I did was share it and support it and say good things about it. And they asked me to take it down. And I thought to myself, why would they do that when I'm advocating for the environment here? I'm trying to be positive. So it's very interesting to me how people are closed-minded about certain things when they have no idea the reach I have on some of my other social media platforms. You know, maybe on that one, I'm not huge, but on the other ones, I could really make a difference for them in a positive way. And I would never work with them now.
Right.
You know, that's so why would you burn a bridge with somebody that's trying to help you for free, you know? So yeah. You're right. There's a lot of closed-minded social media people.
Yeah. Correct. So I'd say if you're watching this and you see something in the news, something pop up in social feed that you feel makes sense, just make some content, you know, put it out there. If you see somebody talking about some packaging that doesn't work and they're getting a big reach, mm-hmm. send them some packaging that does work. Send them a prototype of something, you know, because they're going to want to keep pushing. You know, keep pushing that audience. And if they've got a response to a video that they've already made that's grown, it's a great opportunity for you to grow.
You know, I brought this up with a few companies who are like bigger corrugated companies, but there's a guy who's been, I know he's been on my podcast, I think he's been on your podcast, Corey. I don't know if he has on yours, Avelia. His name's Jeb the Boxsmith. And I found him on, I think it was on TikTok. He makes these incredible, he calls them cardboard, right?
He made the sign. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he made that sign for Corey.
Yeah.
Great. The Aurora kid. Sign. Yeah. He's like 19 years old. Mm-hmm. He's killing it on social media. And I'm like, if I were a big giant corrugated box manufacturer, I would be, how much money do you want every month just to, you know, like we'll supply you with the corrugated, right? Mm-hmm. Like we'll do something and we're going to pay you, you know, $5,000 a month. And my people might be like, oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot. For a lot of these companies, that's like a drop in the bucket on their marketing spend. Think about Uline. Sorry, Corey. But at one point they were spending $40,000 a day in online spend. You know how many
they're a great company.
Do you know how many
they filled the niche?
You're okay.
It's okay, yeah. Corey.
I'm not upset. Okay. I'm bothered. Okay. I'm not upset.
But I mean, they spend so much, like, just like, thanks, look, man. Look for these people. My point is this: get creative and look for these creators who are out there that are not us. There's so many incredible people who are doing great things. Hugh, there's probably amazing people who are making, you know, syrup videos, pancake videos.
What was
Hugh's comment, by the way? I didn't get to see.
You have to wonder where the decision came from, to take that down.
The person that asked me to remove the video.
And then somebody mentioned somebody, because we don't know who the LinkedIn user is, says, you know, that they lost that moment. The Macy's lost that moment to Nike. Doesn't matter if it's overpriced or not. The fact is that they jumped on it first. And that's the thing. First wins.
You have to be fast. Yeah.
By the way, just quick
not first. Nike.
Did you know? On my TEDx video on YouTube, if you go watch it, which is now coming up on almost 4 years ago, which is crazy. But there's a note that says, this video does not adhere to the standards of TED. And the reason for it has to do with Nike. And I had no clue, because I wore some Nike shoes that are made from 100% recycled materials. And I talked about how Nike was doing some cool stuff. And I could not prove to TED that Nike did not pay me. They were like, were you paid to support this? I'm like, absolutely not. Nike does not. And I talked about other brands. I talked about Cotopaxi. I talked about Young Living. I talked about obviously Nike. I talked about Unilever. And they were like, were you paid by these companies? I'm like, I was definitely not paid by them. Information. It's really, and so they had to flag it. They almost didn't put it out. They had to flag it because I couldn't prove. It was a weird thing to try to prove. Like, do you want my bank account? Like, what do you want me to do here?
Yeah. How do I show that? Right.
Yeah. So anyway, if you go check it out, and you see that note, that's the reason why that note exists, is because I wore Nike shoes on the stage that were made out of recycled packaging or plastic. Anyway.
So as we wrap up, just a quick giant note from John, going back to the original discussion, having with the country's overall low recycling rates, does it even matter, like, touting a specific material as better than another? And I think this was kind of the point too, right? It's like, we're, as a country, we're not recycling, we've got really low recycling rates. So if you're pushing one versus another, it's like, okay, well, let's push one that maybe has higher recycling rates than the other ones, but we still have to make sure we make it easy for consumers to recycle. I get lazy.
And be honest with them.
But even as a consumer, I get lazy sometimes, where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to recycle this one. It's easier to just toss it in the bin.
Yeah,
sure. We all do. It's a fact, right? Yeah. So it's not always about education. Sometimes it's just, we are lazy Americans. I don't know.
And also there's it's going to be a technology play, right? Like Mikey and Scrap, I think, are doing some great stuff where we have to figure out a way to make it easier for people to understand it. So even Mr. Plucker's comment about, like, how if we, he just said, if we could just convince Americans to empty, flatten, it's like, nope, you're lost. Yeah. If it's required to recycle corrugated for somebody to take a box, break the whole box down, and then file it away nicely into their bin, that's, as much as it, I hate to say it, it's too much work. So there's got to be ways in which, and we're working on it through AI, through optical sorting, through software like Scrap. We're all trying to do stuff to make it easier for people to just drop their things in. It'd be great to just have one bin, just put everything here and then we'll figure it out. That would be awesome, right? We're not there, but I think there's people working on it who are way smarter than us, and I think we'll get there.
Or we could be like, some of these different European countries that have 8 bins in their house.
Yeah. Or Japan that has 21, right?
And it's 9 million unoccupied homes in Japan currently. It's a huge, massive crisis there.
Yeah, they're moving because it's too hard to recycle. They're like,
that's
I've room for 21 bins in my house.
We've solved the problem.
Yeah. All right, guys. If Japan just had the Scrap app, then their economy would be humming along.
That's it.
That's right. Scrap's on. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you guys next week. You can hear the replay here on LinkedIn. If you have any comments, go ahead and post them on here. Do us a favor. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe, hit the little bell thing so you can get notified when we're on again. Yeah, leave comments because we keep as you've seen over the weekend, we jump on here and we talk a lot of trash. See you guys.
See you.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Evelio Matos.